On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Welcome to Tall Can Sport. Nate Sager from Yahoo and many other places back with us again. How are we doing, man?
Not too badly, Maddie. Not too badly. Raptors won tonight despite hosting Drake Knight.
Huzzah!
Yeah.
Stupid. I can't wrap my head around the idea. I saw a raptor.
Drake. I saw Drake in. Listen to that Drake. No fake. And God, he's terrible. Like, are his 15 minutes up yet?
You'd like to think so. I saw one of the Raptors being interviewed today, and I don't know the any thing of that, them. So it was
the thing that drives me up the wall about that guy. And I like shouldn't be wasting like what few brain cells I have left,
right,
on him, really. But like hip hop to me is like outsider culture, you know, like. It was, you know, back in the day with like, you know, Public Enemy and NWA, like,
right.
They weren't aspiring to be the mainstream, like frickin' Drake. I'm right. Sorry. Anyway,
but
I digress.
The thing for Drake me was sucks. That they're interviewing the Raptors. Well, you know, great Canadian, someone the country can be proud of, and he's a great role model. A fucking role model. You listen to half of his lyrics, it's the same as any other thug, right? I mean, we've all just gotten used to it.
Drinking Grey Goose. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, dropping N-bombs all over the place and what, you know, and that's fine. Like, I certainly have no problem with swearing and things like that in music, but I wouldn't call him a role model for kids. Like, that was, anyway.
Yeah, and someone else, he promotes Toronto. Since when is it an artist's job to promote her or his city?
Seriously.
Like, you ever heard the Weaker Than song, One Great City, where they just basically, it's like a mini diss track of Winnipeg, but they say they're proud to be from there anyway. It's like one of the greatest Canadian, and they're like, and the Jets sucked.
And I don't need Drake. We got Geddy Lee, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
The argument's losing steam. Rush sucks.
I'm going to do my best to get through this one. I'm fighting something off, but I was, I wanted to, we had a listener tweet in last, after last week's show where I may have been a little insensitive to Air Canada Jazz. And, he said he listened and then took it into the lunchroom. He worked for Air Canada Jazz, took it into the lunchroom, and people were having quite a laugh at my take on their airline, which was that it was likely going to see me slammed into the ground at some point. And
you tempted fate, but you're here.
I'm back. And that's really my
so
minimum.
So what's it like to be the lone survivor of a massive plane crash?
It's really only my – that's my minimum requirement to an airline. Just – you know, have me survive. I can get my head around everything else. Yeah. But I spent the weekend in Halifax. I shook 1,000 hands and then I went through that recycled air thing twice. So it's not overly surprising that I came back. I felt scratchy as soon as I got off the plane Sunday
night.
I
think we put the quarantine screen up before we started recording.
Right. And so I got the neti pot out. Have you ever used one of those?
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty unpleasant, but unbelievably effective. And so my face just exploded, right? With I think I pulled a rusty license plate out of there at some point. And I thought I got out ahead of it there. I was feeling pretty good for 3 days after. I thought I might have cut it off. But here we are on a Wednesday, and it appears I did not. So let's move along. We'll go, I think, probably to the big piece of news or the big event north of the border this week, the Grey Cup. First of all, I believe you predicted both finals correctly, did you not?
Yeah, it was bound to happen eventually, right?
You've been pretty high on Edmonton for the last little while now. You were high on Hamilton till they had like seven quarterbacks go down.
Yeah.
Amongst other players.
They went down like Kardashian husbands.
Yay! So, anything... it's funny, before I got on the flight, I was able to watch the first half at a bar at Halifax International. And then got on the plane and had to sit there while we were delayed for 45, 50 minutes or however long it was until about the beginning of the fourth quarter, which is apparently when things went crazy and I didn't get to see any of it. So any surprises for you? Obviously, you predicted it correctly. Anything noteworthy coming out of the finals, or should we just carry right on to the...
Well, no. I mean, I think maybe the best thing that could have happened for the Red Blacks was that they weren't sharp at the things that... are normally their forte, like obviously the passing game. I mean, Henry Burris was just 17 of 32 for 326 yards. Great average yards per pass, but it's inflated by obviously the catch and run by Greg Ellingson, the 93-yarder that won the game.
So AJ Jakubek, shout out, great call. He was all over the web there. Awful announcing picked it up, not because it was awful, but because they wanted people to hear it. He had a great call of that touchdown.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah.
I don't think AJ has much voice left after the playoff
runs. No, I'm sure he doesn't, no.
It's funny because a while ago, he was heard, you know, joking, man, am I the only guy to be play-by-play for four different teams that all miss the playoffs? Because the Senator 67's the first-year Fury and the first-year Red Blacks, and now he's got now he's calling championship games in two different leagues.
That's
in 2
true,
weeks.
Eh? Big year for him.
He's not doing six, and the Senators are doing well, and he calls them now every now and again. And hey, even the 67's are making a little run.
Okay.
But anyway, so... I think the best thing was that they didn't, you know, so there's going to be no false sense of security. They're going to know they're going to have to be better at that.
Well, Edmonton comes in as the favorite, right? So
yeah, because all the media who actually care about the CFL are all in the West and barely realized Ottawa was back in the league. I don't think anyone's picking Ottawa to win this game other than some guy who went on a station today in Ottawa and said just off the top, pulled out of his ass 34-31 Ottawa.
Do we know this guy?
Yeah, we know this guy. He's here right now, and he's not you, Matt. So, you know, like George Costanza, when he got the bad stock, I got to ride it out. Ottawa is up against it, and there's no question about that. I mean, the thing is, everyone's pointing out, well, they got blown out by Edmonton twice. Yeah, those were like two of the first five or six games. They've come a long way since then.
Right.
I know Mike Riley didn't play in those games, and Edmonton really hadn't got Darrell Walker to break out, you know, their 1,000-yard receiver. But Ottawa's obviously a bit of a different team since then, too, right? I mean, they hadn't developed as formidable a pass rush. You know, their running game was non-existent. I think it's since they got William Powell in, it's been pretty solid. You know, they hadn't really got the passing game going like it's been with 4,000-yard receivers for the first time in 11 years that's been done in the CFL.
Yeah.
So I have a reason to think it's going to be a tighter game than that. But I think the best things for the Red Blacks were, one, that they didn't play as great as they could have.
Right.
In the passing phase.
So they won't be taking it easy this week. They got stuff to work on.
And the thing that was their worst, like their absolute Achilles heel, dumpster fire of a mere 3 mile island, the special teams was much better. I mean, they haven't played Hamilton on special teams. They had the two longest run backs in that game. They didn't take penalties that wiped out returns. Hamilton took one that led to them giving up a safety, and then Ottawa getting great field position off of Chris Williams returning, kicking a field goal, and that 5-point swing ultimately loomed large. That's why it was a tie game. You can't assume everything else would have happened the same way. But, I mean, 5 points are pretty big when you had a game that was tied with after 58 minutes of play.
For sure.
So, you know, I think they can make a run at this. It's going to be interesting to see how the Red Blacks react. I mean, Edmonton, you never really know what they're going to do, where the pressure's going to come from, you know, who's blitzing. So it's going to be an interesting week in terms of making the right calls and the right adjustments. But I do think the Red Blacks have come a long, long way since they played the Edmonton Eskimos back in, I guess, late June, early July.
So you've covered the Red Blacks all year. You know the CFL as well as anyone I know. What is it, if Ottawa's got a shot, what is it that they're going to have to be, you know, what can't they give up? What are they going to have to excel at that maybe they've, what do they got to do to stay in it, right? If everybody's got them, and I know you're saying maybe that's a Western.
No, I don't think it's a Western bias thing. I was just joking around a little, but it does seem like people are kind of like.
What's Edmonton's, you know, strength? What's that Ottawa's going to have to be careful?
Well, they do. They can bring it on defense, obviously.
Right.
And they've got some size out at receiver, you know, like I'm just thinking John Ojo and Patrick Watkins, their corners. They're not your stereotypical little 5'10"
right.
cornerbacks. They're like big guys, you know, 6'3", 6'5". They're physical, and Ottawa's going to have to be ready to match that. So it's going to be an interesting, if you like your chess matches in the passing game, it's going to be quite interesting. And especially with this year sort of being the year that the CFL was really cracking down on contact beyond 5 yards downfield, like which coach works the officials better is going to be really interesting. Rick Campbell and Chris Jones on Edmonton. But the Red Blacks have some physical receivers. Like Ernest Jackson's you see him, you're like, this guy's a receiver? Like, really? You know, he looks like a...
Played linebacker.
He looks like he should be playing linebacker, And I mean, Brad Sinopoli, like, I always joke about him, you know, dragging tacklers for rides. You know, we don't have the Super X anymore, but, you know, the other team's DBs get to ride the Sinopoli, and Greg Ellingson's a big guy at 6'3", and obviously Chris Williams, you know, despite being undersized, is braided. If you try to jam him at the line of scrimmage, he can quickly get behind you and take it for a long gain. So that's going to be an interesting part of this Grey Cup game. Is this
four 1,000-yard receivers up against that defense is kind of going to be they're going to have to break through, right? If they're going to have any kind of luck.
I mean, the Red Blacks, I mean, their running game it is what it is. It's like a palate cleanser, basically. Oh, yeah, we better run just to make sure the other team knows that we actually do have some running
We are
plays.
Carrying a running back.
Yeah, we're not just lining up with six wide receivers.
Right. So do you kind of have this, how do you see this shaking out? Is this going to be a low-scoring kind of, if the Red Blacks are going to win, does it have to be a high-scoring
game? I think the Red
game?
Blacks would have to win it in a scoring battle.
Right. Like,
that's why I said 34-31, just threw that out there. And they'll probably have to, you know, get some turnovers.
Favors.
I mean, they have a capable secondary. I don't think the D-block, as they call themselves, Abdul Kane and Javon Johnson, I don't think they've been talked about enough. They can throw some, you know, wrenches into game plans.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, certainly that Edmonton defense is pretty formidable. Odell Willis is obviously great, you know, great pass rusher, has been in the league for a long time. And obviously I think the Red Blacks are going to probably, I mean, be a turnover-free team, but not become tepid and cautious. And that was what they kind of got into against Hamilton. Like, you know, Henry Burris, I mean, I'm sure he knows about there's the old good Hank, bad Hank thing. And even Sunday people
today,
were like, you know, when's bad Hank going to show up? We haven't seen bad Hank lately. When is bad Hank getting here? And I mean, he did throw like one, got away with an interception.
Yeah.
Throwing one right into a guy's left of the old Elway cross right on Arnold Gascon the Don's chest.
Great name.
Yeah, he had quite a university player. So it's going to be, I mean, they're going to have to be, I think, be like +2 in the turnover battle likely. And you can't really predict that. I mean, it's sort of anyone's game when it comes to, you know, who's going to, you know, put one on the ground with a fumble or whatnot.
Any idea what we're looking at for weather in Winnipeg? Sometimes that's a...
Yeah, I know it won't be -17 like it was during the 91 game when the Argos were out there.
Yeah. I was looking at TSN's top 10 Grey Cup or CFL weather games, right? Today, just the
we're saying it's actually going to be pretty nice.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mud Bowl in 1950, a guy nearly drowned in a puddle.
And I can't remember, there was a game where it was like minus 40 they were talking about. And so at halftime, they were having barley soup to warm up, and it was laced with rum. Just to give the guys some courage to get back out there, I guess. It apparently was pretty bad. So it's too bad.
The Fog Bowl in the early 60s.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's too bad because you get out
of the Grey Cup game that had to be played over 2 days because it just became too foggy to continue to finish the game.
Think,
I am minus 5 in Winnipeg, sunny skies.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. That's terrible. Yeah, we're kind of like, please snow.
Winnipeg and Edmonton and even Regina, right? Those are the places where you expect maybe you could see something crazy. So, let's talk a little bit about Henrik Burris. You know, he was talking to the media today. He seemed to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder. He'd been hearing a lot about bad Hank since Sunday, I guess. He said it was kind of funny that people who talk about good Hank, bad Hank, also talk about him potentially being a Hall of Famer. He goes, I don't make those decisions, but how do you decide that, you know, bad Hank's a Hall of Famer, right? So, you know, he'd been kind of battling through, it looked like a couple of nagging injuries. It's 40 years old, it's going to be minus 5, which isn't terrible, but it's not indoors, right? Like in some of the... Are you expecting him to be able to get this done? One kind of last hurrah, because who knows if they get back here again next year. No one thought they'd be here this year, right? What are you looking for out of him?
Well, just to, you know, be a little more aggressive than they were last week. He admitted that he played it a little bit conservatively against Hamilton. They changed up a lot of coverages, and he was really trying to avoid, you know, a big costly mistake. And right. I think that was fine. The Red Blacks were the better team in that game, and they didn't need to do anything to sort of hand it over to Hamilton, so to speak.
Right.
And, you know, just had to, you know, sort of play their game, and eventually they did.
But it sounds like with this defense in Edmonton, that's not going to be enough.
You're going to have to take some downfield shots.
Right.
You're really going to have to try to hit those, you know, those deep sidelines, those ones up the seams, some deep crossers, you know, things that really loosen up the coverage, keep a team from, you know, bringing 5 or 6 guys and make them hope they can pressure with 4 and have to drop back 8 defenders.
Yeah.
You know, and Edmonton is certainly capable of getting heat with 4 guys, with bringing 4.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's the demarcation point of success in football, is if you can rush, if you can get heat on the quarterback with 3 or 4 rushers and don't have to, like, you know, leave everyone else out on an island.
That's right. So you don't expect him to be a problem anyway for Ottawa, right?
No. I mean, I think he made some really wide – I think he really adapted to the circumstances against Hamilton. Like the touchdown run in the first half was a good example. Like he didn't see him running around like that, but he was like, okay, well, today we need it. And as soon as he turned it up at the Hamilton 10-yard line, I was like, oh, he's got – I literally said he's going in, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, fortunately for my spot in the press box, I could see it. It was going to happen.
Right. You, as I mentioned, you know, you follow this league. You got a lot of names that I don't think many other people do. Would this be the most unlikely, if Ottawa were to pull it off, unlikely Grey Cup champion, you know, in recent memory, to go from expansion team, 2 wins, to getting to where they are now on the verge of possibly doing this? You know, does anything cross your mind in this league?
A few do. There's a few that cross my mind. Because, I mean, the 89 Saskatchewan Rough Riders team that won that 340 game that they is always held up as the greatest Grey Cup ever. I mean, right. They were a team the Rough Riders missed the playoffs 11 consecutive years in the late 70s through the 80s. I mean, 2 years before that, they were like literally having a Rider Pride telethon to keep the team alive.
Oh,
the next year, they made the playoffs, and because it was the 80s, they made a rap video. Yes, the Saskatchewan, somewhere it's out there.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, 11 years, that's enough. Yeah. And then they won the Grey Cup after knocking off a 16-2 Edmonton team in the West Final.
Wow.
And I get the, and obviously there's been under 500 teams that have won, like Calgary in 2001 or the 2012 Argos, the 2000 BC Lions.
It's 2012 Argos.
They were 8-10. Yeah.
Wow. And that was the whole thing with the rigged
Ricky Ray
deal.
Ricky Ray for a kicker. Wink.
Yeah.
Wink.
Hey, you're hosting. You need a quarterback? Yes, please.
Yeah, and the period, you know, the Argos every, you know, 8 or 10 years or so, they decide, someone decides to, you know, try, and the Argos get good for a year and win the Grey Cup and then go back to being the Argos.
Yeah. Cinnamon and Sokolowski poured a bunch of money into a host in 04, I think. That was Damon Allen's team. 2012, David Braley.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't really talked about Edmonton's offense. They're a pretty solid bunch. I mean, Mike Riley's a pretty gutsy quarterback, and obviously he's got some nice targets. I mean, Adarius Bowman is that big, physical kind of Calvin Johnson, Des Bryant type of receiver who's really hard to contend with, and I think that might be a problem with the Red Blacks, like if he's on.
Well, because last year, and maybe it was just because the offense was so bad, but all you ever heard about was the Red Blacks defense. And you don't hear that quite as much this year, right? Like, they've been good.
Yeah, they led the league in sacks.
Right. Well, that's not bad.
And a lot of them were coverage sacks because nobody was open against them.
Right.
It'll be interesting how it all works out. And I think Antoine Pruno is going to have a strong game because he usually covers, like, the inside slot receivers from his, you know, Sam linebacker position.
Right.
Edmonton's got some guys who can work there. I mean, Kendall Lawrence is, you know, that kind of Andre Dury type of guy. The guy who came into the league as a running back but kind of evolved into a slot back and can burn people. And, I mean, you got to keep him from, you know, sort of breaking the big play. And, you know, Edmonton's just got a lot of different type of
– A lot of weapons.
A lot of weapons. Yeah. You know, Kenny Stafford's, a big receiver too as well. I know, that's why I just think this has a potential to be the first Grey Cup in a long time. It's actually been back and forth with teams.
Bit of a shootout.
There really hasn't been one in the last decade. I think you have to go back to like 2005 when the Red Blacks offensive coordinator Jason Moss was on Edmonton. And they ended up – well, he had come off the bench to help them win the two playoff games. But then Ricky Ray came back and – or finished the Grey Cup. Yeah.
Is there more football name in – Ricky in the Ray. World than Ricky Ray. It's a great name. The only other career he possibly had was a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, exactly. How did he not end up in NASCAR?
Right. But
Great
quarterback. That's true. Great quarterback name. So your prediction is 34-31.
That's what I'm going. I'm just not basing that on anything. It's just nobody's picking the Red Blacks. Someone I might as well be 34-31, so it's said, so it's
Vegas
done.
Vegas taking bets on the Grey Cup. They take bets on everything.
Yeah, both teams covered last weekend. It was funny because I was in like the press box, and I'm chatting with someone on Facebook, and they were like, hey, can the Red Blacks win by 7? And I'm like, they can certainly do 7. And they did. Not maybe in the way we would have envisioned.
At the last possible second, yeah.
Yeah. Imagine if they had missed that convert after the touchdown. Like, you're so excited, like, that they scored, and then they – oh, man.
Your friend would be pretty upset with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the long vert does kind of introduce a new wrinkle into point spread.
Absolutely.
Point spread betting.
But,
I mean, this is definitely exciting for the city.
This is really
the most exciting thing in Ottawa sports since the Senators made the Stanley Cup final.
Right. And lost. Suck it, Alfie.
But Chris Phillips can always say he scored the cup-winning goal.
Yeah.
That one never gets old. That line never gets old.
Probably does for Chris Phillips.
He's going to go cry in his microbrew beer.
Yeah, have you ever tried it? It's supposed to be pretty good.
It actually is. It's really good.
Yeah, someone else sold that too. Big Rig, got a brewery here in town.
That's going to do well. It's actually, unlike most athlete-started restaurants, this one actually looks like it will last. He's got a good thing going there.
Well, that's one of the things that
he probably doesn't need an ad from us.
Kind of a small town, big city, right? So Chris Phillips is one of theirs or one of ours or whatever. One of Ottawa's own. And so, you know, people want to support it and whatever. But it doesn't matter if your product's shit. So it must be pretty good because people are raving about it. So before we move on, do you have a favorite Grey Cup memory?
Oh, anything? Man, so many.
Yeah.
I could go on. I could write you. I could quote you chapter and verse because I'm literally a babbling fount of CFL trivia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I always look fondly back on the 96 one
The Snow Bowl?
The Snow Bowl.
Yeah, in Hamilton.
The Snow Bowl in Steeltown.
Yeah.
Where the Argos and Edmonton 43-37 just points back and forth. You know, in the snow. That was the one where Eddie Brown on the Eskimos made the catch where he had the ball go through his hands and then tapped it up with his foot and caught it and ran it in for a touchdown.
I was on a coach in Hamilton on the highway stuck listening to the game on the radio because it was snowing so hard.
It was an absolute blizzard.
Was not moving. We were just sitting there missing the game.
Just lake effect snow just all around. Like I was in first year university that year. We watched the game and then went out at halftime and played like touch football in the snow for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that at that university anymore because I've been by there in that quad that we used to go out there. They put an extra residence building on it. So,
boo.
Yeah, they had this nice little quad with like these five different residences kind of in a horseshoe.
Yeah.
And they just had to be greedy and let in more students. So I'm not even going to give them the satisfaction of naming the school on air. But if you drive down that street,
you'll see it. Crazy Clown University.
Hey, I'll thank you not to refer it at Princeton that way.
For me,
I will not be a Gamecock.
I don't know if it's my favorite Grey Cup, but I have this crystal clear memory of, was it 2010, Montreal, Saskatchewan, the extra man?
2009.
Yeah. sitting around with some friends at a Boston Pizza watching that happen, and it wasn't because at the time I was an Argo fan, so I certainly wasn't rooting for Montreal, but I didn't really have a vested interest in the game. But it was one of those, did that really just happen? Like, you had this wrapped up and someone can't count? Like, that was kind of a, like, I don't know if it's my favorite Grey Cup, but it's certainly a memorable.
Well, I have a unique perspective on that. Because what happened to me was I was, before I got to cover the CFL, I was a Saskatchewan fan. I mean, I have a Shamari Williams jersey hanging in my closet.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I remember telling that to Rod Pedersen, the team's play-by-play guy, and he goes, I bet Mrs. Williams doesn't even have that jersey. Sorry, Shamari. He's a great guy. That's why I haven't. He played at
Queens. Owns a bait shop outside Winnipeg.
No, he played at Queens. That was why I got it, right?
Right.
So, and of course, so in fall of 2009, my three football teams were all doing well. Like, Queens won the Vanier Cup that year. The Rough Riders were making a run at the Grey Cup. That was the year he who shall not be named, but they're retiring his jersey on Thursday in Green Bay, was quarterbacking my Minnesota Vikings, and they were doing really well.
After his third retirement.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Saturday in November, right around this time of year, I went to Quebec City to watch Queens win the Vanier Cup, but I had to work the Friday before and the Sunday after. So I literally took the overnight bus from Ottawa to Quebec City, watched the Vanier Cup, got back on the bus, got home, was so tired and drained after writing that I ended up sleeping till 2 p.m. And it's like, I didn't even really care about the Grey Cup that much.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, well, I got the Vanier Cup, and that was really the one I really wanted. And as soon as I saw the flag go down, like, if you watch enough football, you know that the one referee who's standing on the goal line on a field goal is – his job
all
is to count.
All he's doing is counting.
His job is to do is count to 12. As soon as that flag went down before the ball was snapped, I knew what it was. And knew Montreal was getting another shot. So I didn't have that, we won the Grey Cup. No, I knew that the kick wasn't going to count anyway. So, and it was kind of like, didn't deserve to win. And then, of course, the Vikings ended up losing the NFC Championship game, too. So it was just this, like,
it's a rough couple of weeks for you, man.
No, it was kind of like, I got the one that mattered.
I guess, but.
And then the day after the Vikings, I'm listening to these two, like, dude bros on the bus. Oh, you watched the Saints and Vikings game? Yeah, I kind of like both those teams. I was happy with either one winning. It's like, screw you. And it's like, and then I was like, if it's between watching, sitting in a bar watching my favorite team in the Super Bowl or being in person while my hometown university wins the Vanier Cup, I think I'll know what I'll take. And someone's like, yeah, you'd be the only one to take that. And I'm like, exactly. So that's there's some great Grey Cup memories. Definitely the 89 games always held up as a classic.
Yeah.
My favorite one, they used to always show the classic Grey Cups on CBC late at night way back when.
Yeah.
When CBC having the CFL was a thing. I always loved watching the ones from the 70s just because the style of play was so much different. Like, they hadn't figured out the whole, like, waggle thing that you could have a slot back, like, take a running start before he starts his pass route. Like, no one had figured out how to take advantage of
that. Who was the big guy who did color on those games? This was later in the early 2000s.
Chris Walby.
That's it. Chris, he was good.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
Chris, you know how Chris Walby ended up in football? He was banned for life from junior hockey.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea. What happened?
For some sort of brawl he incited in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League.
I could see that. Looking at Chris Walvey, you could... I can see that being a problem, right?
Yeah, he was in some sort of massive brouhaha, you know, melee. But was, so like, it was right. Wild even for junior hockey in
What's
the 70s.
What's the next sport where I can fuck somebody up?
Yeah, well, in football, you can do it legally, right?
Yeah, exactly. So.
But I'm pretty sure there was something about him being banned for life from, like, junior hockey.
Yeah, that was too bad. One of the things I missed.
This is at the peak of the Broad Street Bullies era, you know.
That was one of the things I missed when CBC lost their rights, because he was pretty good.
He was very, very good. Yeah.
That was, it was also probably around the same time when the CBC lost Chris Cuthbert to TSN. And for me, he's the best sports broadcaster in Canada. The guy can literally do anything. He obviously regularly does football and hockey, but, I mean, you've seen him do figure skating.
He's kind of the guy who's like inherited the mantle from Don Whitman as the pro who can cover.
But he's just so good, right?
Cover anything.
He never seems out of place. Like when you listen to Gord Miller do a couple of CFL games a year, you go.
But Gord has done football.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Gord did the greatest Vanier Cup game ever.
Yeah, okay. I'll take your word, but it doesn't seem to fit. Now, right? It doesn't seem to fit.
You're so used to him with hockey.
Right.
You're so
Whereas Chris
conditioned
Cuthbert,
to hear him only on hockey.
Right. Chris Cuthbert can do anything. For me, he's the best in the business, at least north of the border. And I can't think of anyone off the top of my head south of the border.
I'm a fan of the understated broadcaster whose voice only goes up when it merits it, not the guy who screams on every play.
Yeah, absolutely. But to me, that's Cuthbert, right? He doesn't lose his mind early on.
Clearly from the Don Whitman school, because I'm watching, on YouTube, you've got those little vignettes, classic Grey Cups, and then Don Whitman, the late great Don Whitman, was talking about the Raheem Ismail, the kick return for the Argos in the 91 Grey Cup. And they show his call, and I counted. He only uses 35 words, and not one of them is unbelievable or can you believe it?
Right.
It was just like, if he gets to the outside, he's gone. Like, just simple, straightforward description and being right on top of what was happening.
Well, for me, the greatest Don Whitman call is the 96 100-meter dash. I can remember vividly. I'd have been 13 years old sitting at Wayne Gretzky's in Toronto with my aunt and uncle. And we hadn't really been paying attention. I wasn't even really that into sports yet, right? But the 100-meter dash with a Canadian in the final of the 96 Olympics, the whole bar kind of went silent for a second looking around at these TVs. Now that I think about it, why were they taking me to a bar at 13 years old? But anyway, that's not the point.
Yeah, it explains a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But the whole bar kind of went quiet and he looked up. And I mean, it only lasts 10 seconds and everybody's cheering. Then everybody kind of went back to their meal and whatever. But to this day, I can hear Don Whitman making that call, right? And it's too bad that, went so young or whatever. But for me now, it's Chris Cuthbert. And so it's great to me, at least, that TSN has the Grey Cup now because it puts Chris Cuthbert back in the booth to do
it. Yeah, there were a couple of years where he was not doing it, and it was kind of odd. But yeah, I mean, it's a great piece of Canadiana, the Grey Cup.
For sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Lots of favorite ones. I was going to say one favorite one I always watch, talking about the classic, they always put on this 1976 game, which is the last one Ottawa won.
Right.
And it was a Rough Riders matchup.
Yeah.
And they're, and it's just such a
go Rough Riders.
It was just like such a thing under the weight. That game was played about 6 weeks, I guess, before I was born. And it's played in Toronto outdoors. There's 50,000 people in Toronto watching an outdoor football game in November. they're still using a tight end. everything's just like, I'm pretty sure you see a shot of a coach who's like pacing the sidelines, dragging on a cigarette. I know for sure I saw one they showed from the 70s, and there was a coach smoking on the sideline.
Love it. Probably a running back, too.
Yeah, I was watching that someone's uploaded like the Rough Riders playoff win from 1981 over Montreal. Like Don Whitman, Leo Cahill, and Ron Lancaster are the announced team wearing those orange CBC blazers.
Oh, yeah. And classic.
It's a semi. Ottawa's home for the semifinal with five regular season wins. Montreal has three. And it was still grass at Lansdowne Park. And the entire middle of the field is like just mud.
Right.
Like they're showing like J.C. Watt, the quarterback for Ottawa, who later became a U.S. congressman.
Yikes.
He's on the sideline. Someone's like squirting water on his hands, trying to get the mud off. But yeah,
It's
something interesting.
It's always a fun week, right? It's always. Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, there's some serious issues. I kind of wonder if Ottawa just came in when the league's kind of in this bubble because of the big TV deal with TSN.
Yep. Well, like, something to that, right?
Yeah, like the ratings have gone down. That's definitely a concern.
Yeah, it's one of those things, right, where you don't see a lot of young people in the crowds at a lot of games, right? It definitely seems to be an older generation.
It is a bit still. Of an older, yeah, or people with, you know, young families or whatever.
Right. But, I mean, to me, it's still –
It's transcended that a bit here because it's new in this city.
That's right. Yep.
Because it's new and they're winning and they've got the, and they've got the stadium. And
yep. No, it's true. And – I'd be interested, maybe you know, I'd be interested to see what the season ticket numbers were like in year two compared to, you know, I'm not surprised at all that they sold a ton of season tickets for year one and then they were a two-win team, which.
I think the renewal rate was close to 100%. Wow, that's like anyone great. Who didn't renew, they did find someone to replace.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there were a couple of games this year that were less than a sale. Yeah. Like one against Edmonton, it was a Friday in July. It's Edmonton, so you're not.
Was that the one where it was pouring rain?
Yeah, it was the one where it was pouring rain.
Yeah, I was seeing the Tragically Hip at Blues Fest that
night. Blues Fest was going on, so that obviously diverted people away. But
sure did.
But for the most part, I mean, I could imagine they would have trouble reading.
What a Canadian night in Ottawa. The Tragically Hip headlining a concert and the Edmonton Eskimos in town to play a CFL game in the rain.
Yeah, for sure.
So it should be fun. You've thrown a prediction out, so I'll do the same. I'm also a homer, so I'll take the Red Blacks at 35-30.
But I said 34-31.
So that's like, so I'm just going just outside of yours. That's, you know what? All right.
Are you like that guy in The Price is Right?
$1.
$1 Bob.
Yeah, you know what? Give me I really want to see a big-time shootout. So give me 39-35.
Nice. Just
pulled it out of my. I have no idea who's going to score it. I have no idea how it all shakes out. That's what I. 39-35.
Can I tell my story about my all the time I almost got the Super Bowl prediction right?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, we've got time to kill. We're talking about football. John, we're in commercial. I know. I'm just trying to make a conversation. Football!
Time I almost got the
prediction. Well, I was in my second year writing for this school paper in university, and they wanted like someone to do a Super Bowl. It was the year that Green Bay played Denver in the Super Bowl, and this was when – this is going back, obviously, almost, I guess, 20 years now. But that was when the NFC had won 13 Super Bowls in a row, so whoever represented the AFC was automatically perceived as inferior.
Right.
So they told me, well, you can write a preview that says Green Bay will win but not cover the spread, which I think was like 13.5 points.
Wow.
And or you can write – and I was like, well, I'm not writing that. I'm writing that Denver's going to win. Like they hadn't even given me the option. I was writing Green Bay to cover or Green Bay to win straight up. And I said, no, Denver's going to win 27-24. And of course that game was tied 24-all in the final minutes. So I run to the Super Bowl party. He's like, hey, you're looking like you're going to be right. And what happens, Denver got down to the 8-yard line, got backed up by a holding penalty. Terrell Davis runs the ball down to the 1-yard line. So the Packers thought it was first and goal at the 1, and it was actually second and goal. So Mike Holmgren just, well, you better let them score just so we can have a chance to get the ball back.
Oh boy.
And they let him, you know, walk in touchdown. The next play, and it ended up 31 instead of 27. Otherwise, it was right on the button.
All right. That's not bad. You would have been close.
I was yep, right there.
That's right.
What would Peyton Manning have done? He'd have kneeled down 3 times and
what
killed the clock.
What would Peyton do? That's a question that Peyton will
say. Well, right now, Peyton won't
games.
Be doing anything.
That's right.
I'm surprised the Broncos haven't cut him yet.
Come on. He's not that bad.
That is the play.
You're going to cut him.
I would cut him.
All right. You're heartless, man. Cold-blooded.
They signed Christian Ponder, so obviously they're all taking – their shitty quarterbacking needs are taken care of with Christian Ponder.
It's a move to Ponder. Have you been following any of the David Price rumors?
Yeah, I don't believe he's signing with the Jays.
I have a hard time, too, but I saw him today on Twitter joking around with Jays fans, and they started this website, right? Things that, what would you do to keep him here, right? And everybody's different things, but a lot of people say, you know, I'll give a dollar to his charity for every strikeout or whatever.
You should say, I'll go to an Argo, I'll buy Argo season tickets. Everyone's like, no, I don't think we'll be doing that.
Yeah. It sounds like the Red Sox are loading up to be the highest bidder, but no one seems to think he's going to go there.
Yeah. Left-handed starters love pitching at Fenway.
You know, I wonder, is still, you know, Joe Maddon in Chicago with the Cubs, whether that – he just seems like one of those guys where the money isn't going to be the deciding factor. He's going to get his money. Maybe Boston offers him a couple million more over however long. But it doesn't seem like he's that guy, right? If I can get, you know, I'd like 30. If someone gives me 27 over 5 years and I'm happier, you know, in St. Louis is a 5-hour drive from home for him. He still lives in Nashville. You know, I also have my doubts, serious doubts that he's coming back to Toronto. But
St. Louis is an interesting option.
Yeah. And it, like, players love to go to, it's a great fan base, a cool park, a winning organization.
There are, of course, Cardinals fans.
Yeah, well, that's true. Although I can't say that I dislike the Cardinals, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you have a Cardinals hat.
It's true, I do. It's a great hat. My niece is 3 years old. She calls it my chicken hat. Just a bird sitting down there. Where's your chicken hat? Yeah, seriously. But that's an interesting one for me. I mean, his former GM is in Los Angeles now. But I do wonder, right? Someone, like I said, posted on Twitter, if he stays, I will, what I think it was, donate to his charity every time he strikes someone. And he comments underneath it, love it, right? Why would you be out there toying with people if you know you're about to smash them, right? And it's not enough to me. This little Twitter exchange is not enough for me to go, he's coming back.
You're not gonna, you can't take that to the bank.
No, but I don't really see, if he'd already shut the door and knew he was out of Toronto, I don't really see him still doing those sorts of things.
This, right? Is true, yeah.
So I wonder, and this is not my concept, I've heard a couple of people talk about it, would he take $30 million a year for on a 4-year deal with an opt-out after 2? Where he can go, I'm going to get $60 million right now, and if it's not going well here, if the city's reverted back to not giving a shit and the organization sucks, I can walk with 60 mil still at 32 years old. And I'm going to still get a pile of money somewhere else.
Yeah, there's something to that.
Right.
I mean, it's not as if he'll still be at his peak earning period.
Right.
In 2 seasons, most likely.
You know, that's that was a deal that was given to Roger Clemens when he came to Toronto. One of the other things to keep in mind is most people say that over the next 2 seasons, the reason salaries have gotten so ridiculous is all the local TV money just pouring into Major League Baseball right now. And it's going up again over the next 2 years. So would he, you know, they were talking to Bob Ryan at the Boston Globe today on the radio. And he said, you know, a $30 million deal right now seems obscene, but in 3 years, guys at that level might make 35 or 40. So would he, again, would it be smarter to take? Now, the risk becomes if you get hurt or have a shitty 2 years, you're not worth that anymore. But you do have $60 million bucks in your pocket. So how big of a risk is it really, right? I just wonder if the door may not be closed. I don't think Toronto's given him 8 years.
No, the Jays would never do that.
Right. But if you could give him 4 or 5 with an out after 2 that still leaves all the cards in his hands, I don't think at this point, I'm more optimistic now than I was a week ago at this time when we talked about this.
Definitely. You know, moi aussi, would have, you know, thought there was no chance. And now it's like, okay, maybe it's like 10%, 15%,
20%. Right. And I'm probably a little higher than that, but I'm not.
Oh, you're high. You are high.
I'm not over 50%, that's for sure. I'm maybe around 30, thinking maybe there's a shot at this still, right? You brought up, we didn't get to it a week ago, a Canadian sports television thing is going away with Off the Record. Going off the air.
Yeah.
Were you ever a fan? Did you watch it much?
I can't say I did, but I think it did sort of, you know, push the envelope and, you know, getting the showing that Canadians could do the sports shouting thing as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, the more voices out there, the better.
It just, by the end, it didn't resemble anything similar to what it set out as, right? Where early on, they would have these panels, and sometimes they'd be pretty Bush League, and sometimes they'd have some big names.
And sometimes they'd have Liam Maguire.
Sure. Yeah.
I've told you my Liam Maguire story, right?
But it was pretty cool, and it was confrontational.
Just
they
kidding,
would talk
Liam,
about
you're cool.
You know, there would be controversial topics and big names on to discuss them, and they would do one-on-one shows now and then with guys. And it was pretty good. But by the end, the panel part was down to like one segment. They did something called Upfront to start the show, and they'd have someone on and they'd just interview that person who wasn't one of the panelists. And then they'd have the panel on for a segment, and then they'd have that person back to do something like Next Question or something like else. They had these, like, it just stopped. I was a
it
big
stopped being
fan.
Interesting.
Right. I was a big fan when it first started, probably right up till like maybe 03 or 04.
Well, before social media. I mean, this was the one chance to really get people.
Right.
You know,
I guess that's
true.
With their
guard down and, uncensored, you know.
What do you think of Landsberg?
I like, obviously, the stuff he's done for, you know, mental illness has been, you know,
for
really
sure.
important. I sometimes think, you know, we could find other – the media could do a better job of finding other voices other than Clara Hughes and Michael Landsberg.
Yeah.
There's certainly lots of other people
in other
walks of life who've battled
appreciate
clinical
what he's
depression.
Done with that cause. But in terms of being a sports
as a personality, I was kind of – always kind of blasé on him. It wasn't a huge fan by any stretch. But I don't want to run anyone down.
No, I get that. He was – like I said, I loved the show when it – first started. I was a really big fan. I don't know if that was because of him, but he certainly wasn't hurting it as far as I was concerned. I loved the concept. I don't know. I think it's really tough for a broadcaster of any kind, not just in sports, to have a run that long, right? Like that show's probably been on for 15 years now.
Yeah, more than 15.
More than 15.
I mean, it started in the late 90s.
Yeah, 97, 96. It was on by 96, I know that, or 97.
So,
there's
an argument that it just overstayed its welcome. Or it came to a point where it no longer seemed unique. Like, it was sort of
the
product of when
of
TSN was the only game
now.
In town, right?
Yeah.
For a sports network in Canada. I mean, it the show came on before Sportsnet had even launched, right? So
it's true.
But I think there's definitely a legacy there. But I certainly, I certainly think it's better to sometimes get people who aren't just media people,
right?
Yakking away. Like, it really can be a bit of a, well, let's be honest, a circle jerk to watch.
Honestly,
some of the other shows where
no one
just
wants
run
to
out
burn
their
sources.
They run out the same experts again and again, and they're, you know, like Sportsnet only has their own people.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to do baseball, you know, it's going to be, Greg's on. And
well, the Fan 590 used to be awesome in Toronto because they would bring on TSN's guys as well. And then TSN started their own station, and it was Rogers versus Bell, and now we don't even mention their names, right? Like, Rogers always refers to just the three letter or whatever, and you just grow the fuck up, right? Like, and
it's,
so
it's
I definitely
sick, petty and childish.
Honestly.
I mean, it doesn't start with the
no, of course not.
The people in front of the mic and the camera. It obviously starts off camera, but it is petty and childish.
But it's like when you watch, and you probably don't because you're not a glutton for punishment like him, but like the NHL trade deadline or free agency. And it's like, if you follow these guys on Twitter, it's one of the Sportsnet guys saying, as Nick Kyprios first reported, whereas the two... as Bob McKenzie first reported, right? And then you get some other douchebag. And this has become a thing where Pierre LeBrun, I can now confirm what Bob McKenzie said. I think Bob already confirmed it or he wouldn't have said it. Like, And it's just become, I'm going to pat my guys on the back, and I'm going to pretend.
Oh, it's
that
such
my
an echo
source,
chamber.
It's so fucking stupid. Because I think for most people, Bob McKenzie, in terms of hockey, is the be-all end-all.
He is a national treasure.
Right.
I get it. Meet the man, like, he lives up to it.
If Bob says it, it's not a rumor. It's not a you can take that shit to the bank.
Yeah.
I don't have anybody else out there that I look at. Like, you know, Darren Dreger's supposed to be their other guy, but he hasn't broken anything since his cousin, Dave Nonis, stopped being the GM of the Leafs, right? Like, oh, you don't have that. That's weird that your Leaf things have dried up since your cousin left.
You're on the ball with this stuff. To me, it's all just white noise.
I enjoy covering or looking at the sports media as much as I do the sports. So.
But anyways, just staying on the point, yeah, off the record, definitely. You know, they say it's going to be
Pull me back from my tangent. I'm out there, man.
You and your tangents. I mean, yeah, me pulling someone back from a tangent, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black?
Right.
And it was a black day in July in 1965.
Which was the style at the time.
So I tied an onion to my belt. Now, in those days, Nichols had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter. You say, well, where was I? Oh, yeah, I had to go get a new heel for my shoes. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. But, yes.
This reminds me of an interesting story. It's not so much interesting as it is long.
I would like to see them, like, branch out and, like, maybe do, like, more like 30 for 30 type stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there are Canadian stories
sure
that have been missed and really do them well. I mean, that if that's something where you can repurpose off the record, like, certainly go there.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if that's going to happen with all the, you know, with Bell, with all the job cuts and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you need people to do that. I don't know what kind
they're
of
slashing all over the place.
ROI ESPN even gets on their 30 for 30s. I'm sure they do okay, right?
Oh, yeah.
But well, I mean, there's some, I mean, how many 30 for 30s have actually had a Canadian focus to them?
Yeah. No, it's true.
I mean, the Ben Johnson, the 979 one, which I guess was kind of on Ben Johnson, the Gretzky trade, although it was told totally through an American lens.
Yep.
And the Terry Fox one. I'm sure there's other things you could find.
Man, the Terry Fox one missed the mark for me. That was
really.
Yeah. CTV did a great movie up here. There's been so many great documentaries and stuff that I didn't care for the ESPN version of it.
Yeah.
And again,
that was like Canadian story done for a US audience that didn't know it or had forgotten it.
So, I think that's probably good for this episode of Tall Can Sports.
Well, anyways, yeah, Grey Cup. Watch the Grey Cup.
Hey,
6 p.m. Eastern.
6:30 Newfoundland.
Yeah. 7:30 Newfoundland.
Whatever.
The world will end at noon, 12:30 in Newfoundland.
Gives a shit what time in Newfoundland. Get a team and then we'll give a shit. You're joining us for next week for your first audio whiplash, right? I think.
Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah, we're going to do a whiplash.
About what, though?
Oh, well, we don't want to spoil anything for the good listener out there. It'll be Tall Can Audio's 50th show. We fired up in May, we've got 2 shows running, the Audio Whiplash shows and Tall Can Sports. And I think you've so far strictly been a Tall Can Sports.
Yeah. They said we wouldn't make it 10 shows. And where are those critics? All dead.
Don't ask questions. maybe we shouldn't have made it more than 10
Mental
shows.
Mental note, the girl knows too much.
So, yeah, we'll have Rob will be in studio. You'll be back in studio. Amy's going to come in again. That was also her appearance is one of our highest ever downloaded shows. So that should be fun. We'll have a bit of a roundtable on a few different topics, but we still have one more before that. This is our 48th show. So we'll get something else out to the good people, and then we'll have the big 50th episode shebang. Until then, thanks, Nate, and we'll catch you on the next one.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tall Can Audio.